Now our study today will take us into the book of Genesis and chapter 7. The book of Genesis, chapter 7. Reading at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Verse 16 it says, And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Verse 24 says, And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the verses we have read. We trust you'll all find time to read the whole chapter. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we again acknowledge Thee, approaching Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, presenting to Thee our thanksgivings for every blessing that we have received from Thy bountiful hand, but asking Thee that the word may be blessed to every listener today. We long for the day when this land of ours shall see a mighty revival and a turning to Thee in true repentance. Grant then Thy blessing upon every listener now for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in chapter 6, you will remember, it was a word of revelation from God, followed by preparation by Noah. That is, Noah was warned by God. Noah listened to the word of God. By faith he acted upon it and prepared the ark to the saving of his house, and at the same time, brought condemnation on the world. Now, as we turn to chapter 7, here we're faced with the invitation from God to Noah. Then there is the provision of salvation for all inside the ark. Then there is the condemnation upon all who remained outside the ark. So, at the opening of chapter 7, it is a word of invitation, where the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. May I remind every listener today that as you read through the Bible, you come to this conclusion that our God is an inviting God. Here in the book of Genesis, he is inviting Noah and his family to come into the ark. When you come to the prophecy of Isaiah, there is an invitation there to a nation to come for cleansing. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he invited people to come to him for rest. When you come to the final book of the Bible and the final chapter, you discover that God is inviting people to come for life. Now, my friend, have you ever taken time to consider the invitations of God? But when you come back here to Genesis chapter 7, and you think of the word of invitation, you ought to take note that the initiative in this chapter was with God. Remember, it was God who gave the warning to Noah. It was God who gave the pattern of the ark to Noah, and Noah had to build according to the pattern that God gave him. It was God who gave the invitation for Noah and his family to come into the ark. We should also note that the invitation was personal. Come thou. Now note, God did not say to Noah, go thou into the ark, but rather he said, come thou, indicating that God was already in the ark, which was built according to his specifications. Remember, if Noah had altered the specifications and built the ark according to his own ideas, it would never have provided salvation. In fact, God would not have been found in it if man had altered it. Noah had to build according to divine specifications. Then he found when it was complete, God was in it. And God invited him to come in. I should also point this out to all my listeners today, that when it comes to God's provision of salvation, that salvation is according to God's specifications. God doesn't leave the sinner to work out and provide his own salvation. God has provided salvation in the person of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have emphasized over and over again in these broadcasts, you're not supposed to alter it, nor yet can you provide your own salvation, and God has only provided one way of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. We should also note that the invitation was extended to all the house. But while it's true that God invited Noah and his family to come into the ark, each one was responsible to accept and enter in. Each one would come to the door, and each one had to take that step over the threshold. It was personal responsibility in entering into the ark, while it was God that gave the specifications for the ark. It was God who took the initiative. It was God who gave the invitation. Remember this, each one was responsible to enter in. Because that Noah and his wife entered in, that was not sufficient to provide salvation for his sons and their wives. If they had stayed on the outside, they would have perished. The fact is that Noah and his wife went in, and his three sons and their wives. It was God's preservation of the race, which of course the enemy had sought to corrupt. But the preservation is limited to a remnant that God has declared righteous. And this preserved line will lead right on to the coming of the Redeemer, who would ultimately crush the head of the serpent. I would like each listener to get a grasp of this. When we were dealing with chapter 3, that tragic fall, it was then that God indicated that there would come a Redeemer. That Redeemer would be known as the seed of the woman. And when that Redeemer came, you remember, there would be a conflict. And then he would be the ultimate conqueror who would crush the serpent's head. Now, when the serpent realized, when Satan realized that the Redeemer would come through the channel of the human race, then he sought to corrupt the whole of the human race. You would almost think, as you read through chapter 6, that he had succeeded. But then there's a bright star on the horizon, for there was one man who was not contaminated. There was one man who was upright, one man who was righteous. That was Noah. God seemed to preserve the line in Noah. And so there is Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. And here God has preserved the line through which the Redeemer would come. So Satan again is overthrown. He is defeated at his own vile work, and God preserved the line. That line that would lead right on to the Christ who would be the Redeemer. But now the main issue in these opening verses, I suggest to you, is the thought of the word of invitation. God inviting a man to come into the ark. Have you ever taken time, my friend, to think of this? What would have happened if that man called Noah had refused to listen to God's invitation, or if any of his sons had refused to listen? I'll ask you this. What is going to happen to you or to anyone else who refuses to listen to God's invitation? Now, note again, not only do we have the word of invitation in this chapter, but we have the enjoyment of salvation. Now, in connection with salvation, you must think of this great word in the Bible, the word faith. Now, while we have been dealing with Noah in our previous study and also today, I quote to you again and again a verse from Hebrews chapter 11. Now remember, Hebrews chapter 11 is the great chapter of faith, and different people are mentioned in this chapter who acted on the principle of faith. Now, when it mentions Noah in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." But now there's another word associated with the enjoyment of salvation. That is the word that's introduced to us in chapter 6, where we read, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Now here are two words that are brought together in the New Testament when the subject of salvation is being presented. In the Epistle to the Ephesians we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Here in Genesis chapter 6 then, Noah found grace, but he also, following that, he exercised faith. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that Noah listened to what God had to say, he believed what God said, and he acted upon it. There is such a thing as a dead faith, but this was a living faith. The man not only heard what God said and believed what God said, he proved he believed it, for he acted upon it. Take note in these chapters dealing with Noah, how often it is said that God said, or that the Lord commanded Noah. And then Noah in faith responded and did all that the Lord commanded him. The man who lived for God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, as set before us in chapter 6, is the man who in chapter 7 enjoys living with God in the ark. So I suggest here, first of all, there is the reception of faith, receiving and acting upon the word of God. And that takes us to the thought of the response of faith. You see, following the reception of God's word, there is the response to God's word. Noah, having professed to believe God regarding the coming flood of judgment, is now faced with a vital and final decision. God says, "Come in." And Noah proves by his action that he truly believed God. Noah went in. That is verse 7 of chapter 7. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Now, there's a little point about this that's worth noting. That is, nothing of this nature had ever happened before. This was an entirely new thing. up till this time, the earth was watered with the mist that came up, not by the rain that came down. This was a new thing, that God was going to break up the canopies of heaven, so to speak, and pour water down upon them. But such a thing had never happened before. Man had never seen such a flood coming as to cover the whole earth. But God said he was going to do it. Noah was a man who believed God while the others didn't. And so when God says, come in, Noah proved by his action that he truly believed God, and he went in. I would like to ask everyone listening to my voice now, when you hear the gospel presented concerning Jesus Christ being the Savior provided by God, when you hear the message concerning his birth at Bethlehem, and his death at Calvary, and his glorious resurrection, do you simply sit and listen to the preacher and say, yes, that's true, I believe that happened historically? But may I ask you, my friend, if you believe these things, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Now remember, there were many, many ways, I believe, that led to the ark. For instance, the animals would come in from their homes, the birds would come down from their nests, Adam and Eve would come from the place where they lived, his sons were there, wives would come from their homes. They may come with different pathways leading to the door of the ark. But once they came to the door of the ark, remember, there was only one way into the ark. That was by stepping over the doorway. Come in. There may be many, many ways that lead to Christ. One man is brought one way, another man is brought another way. But my friend, while there may be many ways that lead to Christ, remember, Christ is the only door into God's heaven. Christ is the only way for salvation. If we're brought at different ages and brought in different ways to face the challenge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should remember that he, you'd say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And so, my friend, whether you're brought to Christ by listening to a radio message, or if you're brought face to face with the challenge of Christ while reading some booklet or reading your Bible, or listening to a preacher at a church service, or by a friend sitting down beside you and talking to you, all these different methods may be used in bringing you face to face with the challenge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's only one way to God, only one way of salvation, is by exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Notice now, if we have the reception of faith, leading to the enjoyment of salvation, and the response of faith, leading to the enjoyment of salvation, then there is the reward of faith. Verse 16, they went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now notice in that verse, verse 16, it says, God shut him in. It was God that did this. It was God who invited him to come in. And when he was in, it was God that shut him in. This provided an absolute security for all who were inside the ark. Now let me pause here and ask each listener. Once Noah was inside the ark, do you think it was possible for any power to take him out of that ark? Do you think for a moment that the devil could take him out and destroy him? Do you think the men who were outside the ark could break in and get him? It was God who shut him in. God was his protector. God was in the ark with him. And God would preserve Noah and his family when they were inside the ark. Now, if that is so, I ask you this. If God has placed us in the hollow of his hand, and is God's protection that surrounds us, is it possible for any power on earth or in hell to take you out of the Savior's hand? You answer it, my friend. The Bible says they can't. See, when God shuts the door, then no man can open it. No amount of judgment or opposition could harm or even overthrow the ark or its inhabitants, because it was God who designed the ark, and God was in it and was well able to protect his own. Now, during this day of grace, we are given a guarantee, the guarantee of eternal life and the guarantee of security for all who are in Christ Jesus. He says, no one shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father is greater than all, and none shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, here's the reward of faith. You're placed in the place of absolute eternal security. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I suggest to you that Noah and his family enjoyed peace with God while the judgment fell on the guilty world. Let us look for a moment or two at the third thing I suggested in this chapter. It's the world's condemnation. Notice what it says, the waters increased. Then it says the waters prevailed. Then the waters prevailed exceedingly. Now God in grace provided salvation, but God in government acted in condemnation. Never let us get out of balance. It's a good thing to know of God's grace providing salvation. But remember, on the other side of the coin, there is God's government. These two principles run in parallel throughout the whole of the Bible. He's the God of grace, that's perfectly true. It's just as equally true he's the God of government. And in government he acted in condemnation. No sinner in the ark could be lost, but no sinner outside the ark could be saved. All flesh died that moved upon the earth, according to verse 21. In the New Testament there is the corresponding truth found in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, my friend, salvation is provided. In Noah's day, salvation was provided in the ark. In our day, salvation is provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. For all who were in the ark, there was preservation. For all outside the ark, there was condemnation. Today, for all who are found in Christ, having trusted him as Savior, there is eternal salvation. For all who reject him, the wrath of God abideth on the unbeliever.